What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the garage, and it feels like it has been a month of Sundays, and Josh is already saying that the audio is probably going to be bad. Well, that's exactly right. It's always something. So, I want to thank everybody already that showed up. Everybody, are we in deep voice mode? Don't mess with me. Are we really, John? Okay. Hey everybody, welcome back to the garage. Welcome to another episode of Intune. Welcome. It's been 2 weeks. Is it deep? Are you guys messing with me? I think some of you might be messing with me. I don't know if I have the studio monitors on or not. Hello. Is it deep? Do I need to unhook everything and plug it back in? Okay. It's not a forget.
Maybe that's just my voice nowadays. Is that any better? Test. Okay, I don't understand what's going on with it. You know what? Part of this is if you buy some of the cheap stuff, you get some of the cheap stuff. So, that being said, everybody, welcome back to a new episode. Let's go through, talk about the new patrons that we've got. I don't know where we kicked off last time. I know Danny Z's in here, so I'm just going to start with Danny Z and roll from there. And if I give everybody else some double props, well, double welcome to the channel, you guys. So, we got Jason, Kevin, Nick Z, Travis, Isaac, Michael H, Rick C, Damon B, Chris H, Richard D, Colton, Preston, Ruscio, Stewart, James, Johnny, and Tony. Wow, a lot of new patrons. It's the first of the month. We've been off for a couple of weeks. We've got questions rolling in already. And it's good to see some new faces in here. You know, there's a couple. There's Kiki. There's Flipster. And, of course, all the original people, everybody, good to see everybody. Ross is already rocking and rolling. And, Brandon, Ross is right. On an NA build, would you do a math tomb or speed density? I would definitely do the math tomb. But speed density, as we've talked in the past, both of them are one part of the dynamic airflow setup in which you spend more time on the math than you do in speed density, but speed density is a little bit better set up to handle transient fueling situations. Racing is tuning a Gen 3 LS1 with a large cam, idle smooth until it goes into closed loop, surges a few times and levels out. Any ideas? The AFR is dialed in. That's an interesting one, Racing. Generally everybody that's having issues with Gen 3s right now, it's with the idle side of things, but to see that whenever it goes into closed loop, it surges a few times, then levels out. Double check, make sure that your narrow bands aren't going bad. So you could be having some long-term fuel trim issues that's causing it to go wonky, and then it smooths itself out with the short terms. So try resetting your long-term fuel trims. And then possibly look at what your voltages are. Generally, the narrow band O2 sensors are going to be looking for around 0.45 volts to align up with what your... Josh, that's... Hey, no problems, Zeth. Appreciate all of your help, man. What's going on, Jorge? Hey, Nick D, welcome back, brother, 325. Hey, Darwin, good to see you from down under, brother. Brand new narrow band, short-term only. You know, try turning your long-terms back on and see if that helps racing. Because I know guys want to, for some reason, run short-terms only if they think they've got the rest of their tune dialed in properly. But sometimes that causes issues. Jorge, no habla Espanol, brother. Hey, Lynn Twin, welcome back. Kiki, you're on a K20. I have not tuned Hondas, so I'm not going to be able to help you out on that other than to tell you that a lot of the stuff that goes along with tuning on HB tuners is going to carry over into something like K-Tuner, which is to look at your MAF or your speed density, aka your manifold air pressure tune, and just dial everything in. Brian, yes, I ended up going with the LC2. So I will be doing a video on installing the LC2 here soon and wiring it all up, bringing it into HB tuners via serial. And then after that, we'll do a video about bringing it in on analog. Flipster says, Gen 4 will cause the fuel system to go into open loop when driving. A lot of things, Flipster. You have probably 10 to 15 different parameters that can force things over into open loop. And then if it gets wonky whenever it goes into the open loop, that's because your MAF or your speed density tune needs dialed in. Sure thing, Darwin. Anything to help out another brother from down under. What's going on, Customs Mater LSX? Good to see you in here. 386. I don't know why it flagged you for saying coyote ugly, but apparently coyote is a bad word on this channel. What's going on, Richard? I was down in Florida a couple weeks ago. Hey, PCT. Giovanni, what's going on? Appreciate it, brother. Darwin, you're going to do E85 on E40. I posted a comment on the community page of YouTube a little while ago about which pin is the E85 input pin on E40 because I got pissed off because I couldn't find that information anywhere. Apparently, that's guarded information. Yeah, actually, I found it from an Australian forum. The Holden guys are more open with that. Nick D's having issues with his long tubes. Just had VBIM clamps installed. Have to go back because they started leaking again. Yeah, they could be semi-incompetent. BJ took the Gen 5 truck to the dyno guy earlier with your ported throttle body and 6.2 intake, grabbed the laptop and drove around, said everything was good. Is that possible? Is it possible that everything is good? I mean, what? Elaborate, BJ. Kiki, just keep watching. You can learn about it. A lot of these things carry over, as I said, the premise of tuning is the same across any platform. It's all about air, fuel, and spark. Those three things make up every single bit of tuning in different ways. And so you can pick up on a lot of the background of what it takes to tune. So, and then ask questions. It's all about asking questions. And there is no stupid questions, because you can't learn unless you ask questions. And that's how I learned. And that's how everybody else that's here has learned, is by asking questions and then sharing knowledge with each other. Yeah, Hillary, no problem. Nick D asks, thinking about putting my wideband in one of the mate header bungs, what's the negative of taking my car's O2 off? Whenever you're tuning, there's no issues with that. So go ahead and pull one of your narrow bands out, throw it in the add-on bung, and put your wideband in the factory bung, which we know is going to be good. And go with that. Whenever you're done, you can swap them back and then put closed loop back on. Danny Z says, I got a filtering question for my EQ error. Down low, when I let off the throttle, I get about 15 to 20% lean, so I know DFCO is off, but it keeps jacking up my MAF calibration stuff. How can I filter that out? Oh, man, that's interesting. That's interesting. Especially on MAF tuning, because that's sometimes an issue that you run into whenever you get a lot of modifications going on your your front side, Danny. I would probably just manually filter that data out. Copy it over to a spreadsheet, look for those spikes, wipe those out, and then blend in between points on the other sides of that. So, what's up, Exempt? Good to see you again. Yeah, YJ, I will get back to you, Colton. Had a busy afternoon, so I haven't been able a chance to look at yet. S10 says, suggestions for finding a possible bad injector, sending almost two sets out to be clean and following tomorrow, everything. S10, somebody on the forum here might have a better suggestion than me, but I would read spark plugs on something like that. Richard Smith, yes, I would recommend serial over analog. And the main reason behind that is because whenever you're taking a wideband signal, you're taking an analog signal, you're converting it to digital. And then if you go serial, it stays digital all the way to the data logger. If you go with analog, it has to convert back over to analog, which you then convert back over to digital. John, what did you get from VS Racing today? Elaborate. Tell us what you're getting in the mail. Brandon Boyle, there will be videos on scaling bigger injectors soon. I am working on that. Just been really tied up lately. Hey, Paradigm, welcome to the channel. I will, if you guys have a YouTube channel, I'll have to check it out. Let me know.
I pulled up some videos for you.
New tuner shops jump in here and share their knowledge. I'm falling way behind here. Sorry, guys. We've got a decent... Yeah, we're up to 64. We've got a good turnout tonight. That's what I like to see. So, guys, since we have so much data scrolling through the page here, I'll go ahead and say if we do not get around to answering one of your questions, by all means, whenever the stream is over, post it down into the comments below, and I will try to ask it or answer it after that. Ross Lawrence asks, bought new supercharger pulleys. Do I need a new tune? Well, just run higher up in the math table. You will need a new tune if you are going with higher boost, Ross. You will go higher up in the math table, but there's a good chance you have not tuned that area of the math table because you've not ran that much boost. Now, going back down is not an issue. David is right. Can you filter the TPS with something like 2% above idle? That way you don't get any coasting data. I do that a lot on certain situations. David is right. It's a good idea. There you go. Josh said the same thing. Filtered out anything over 10% because I was getting spikes like that. Oh, that's interesting. Exempt says if you use a stethoscope on the injectors while the engine is running, you can get an idea of which injectors are weak because you can physically hear the difference in the click sound. And that makes sense. Well, Danny, as said, follow up like with what David and Josh are talking about where you filter out some of your throttle positions and it should, I mean, our accelerator positions is probably what you want to filter on. Filter on accelerator positions, and whenever your accelerator position is below so-and-so, aka you're letting off the throttle, then that data will not be recorded. Just hit me up if you need help with that and I will get you sorted out. Nick says, what is needed to tune for long tube headers? Do they change airflow in the motor? Yes, they do. Your MAF, you might pick up a little bit more hertz on the top end on the MAF, but they will definitely change your volumetric efficiency. Mark Lewis is new to the Ford Coyote. When you have more vids about tuning the 2018 Coyote, specifically the Mustang A10 Crazy Mount? Yes, Mark, I've talked about the Mustang platform with all of the tables, and it is not exclusive to the Coyote. I might dive into that. It'll be on the EcoBoost a little bit, but a lot of that information will carry over to the Coyote. And then one of these days, we're just going to have to track down somebody around this area that's got a Coyote that's willing to let us play around. Zero Factor asks, what happens when you run more hertz on your MAF than the ECM allows? You need to go to a bigger intake tube, Zero. That is the case where you are exceeding your MAF. And so in order to do that, the larger the diameter of your intake tube, the lower the hertz, because basically you're measuring the same amount of air, but you're allowing more air through the tube, and you will have to do a complete rescale. You can do a shotgun rescale where you say, if I increase the intake tube 25%, I can shift my MAF scale down 25% and start there, and it'll get you kind of in there in that area. Brian Allen says, I just got my AM inline controller put together tonight using my Gen 3. I had no need for a gauge on my off-road rig. Just wanted to be able to connect to HP2. Oh, yeah, Brian. I almost went with the inline version. I went with the LC2 from Innovate, which is the same mentality. No gauge. Just going to be looking at it. Around the Farm says, got a Frankenstein set up with the 2012 Corvette ECM, 2014 Yukon 6L80. They're not communicating. With the Tech 2 tool in your latest video allowed me to flash the transmission to Corvette settings. The thing that's going to be dependent on that around the farm is if the controller for your 6L80 is the, you need to find out what the model number of that controller is and see if it supports the OS number for a 2012 Corvette ECM. Listen, there's going to be a video about this in the next week or so where I talk about different OS numbers, different ECM, TCM part numbers, stuff like that. Because I'm about to butt heads against this on Project Country Club. So keep your eyes peeled on that. But theoretically, you can because, and most likely they are within the same, the 2012 to 2014 range is where it gets a little bit wonky because you're talking about Gen 4 to Gen 5 stuff. But the 2014 Yukon should still be a Gen 4. So it should be able to do it. Where are we at here? Raphael, how can you get more throttle response on Gen 3 drive-by cable? You're only going to get as much throttle response as that cable allows you. That thing's going to open it up. If you are lagging behind, you've got some airflow issues. So double check. Jorge Romero, where can I do a course for HP tuners? I generally will send you over to the, what's the guys from Australia? Somebody elaborate for Jorge there. They are the HP Academy guys. Yeah, good to hear you, Ross. Nothing wrong with some new injectors. Kevin, good to hear it, man. That was an interesting situation. Kevin was having some weird stuff going on with E85 cold starts on a Gen 4, and we were able to track it down, get that sorted out. So, yeah, there's going to be some interesting stuff coming out, PCT, with the ECM swap, where we actually get into stuff like doing the flashing in stuff. Sorry, John. I'm lost. I'm laughing at John Payton. Welcome back, brother. Flashing in some stuff like that from SPS. We'll be accessing SPS using it. Well, New Zealand's close enough. I know they do. I've got a good friend from New Zealand. Yeah, Brian, I've heard a lot of bad things about the PLX setup also, and so I ended up steering away from that. Which is a shame. I like the idea of how PLX was setting up their controller, but if they just can't get the AFR stuff to read in properly, what's the point of doing it? So, you know. By the way, it's Thursday, Friday, so tonight we are drinking. If you were to follow me on the Instagram, we are drinking a Todd the Axeman by Surly Brewing Company. Check us out. Instagram, Goat Rope Garage. Pretty straightforward. We've got parts coming in every single day. Cheers to you, Chase. Nick D, I had some of the Fury later, or earlier. I know, Josh, that is the fan from my laptop. Not a whole lot I can do about that, unfortunately. Sorry, bud. Darwin's asking, is it possible to change my E40 to an E67? Anything is possible, Darwin. That would be a fairly difficult swap, I would think. E40 is such a weird ECM, but basically, and I'll go into what you need to do, Darwin, as far as going through the pinouts from one and then trying to match it up to the other one and seeing what all systems align up and which ones don't. I've been pretty happy with Surly so far, PCT. I've gotten a couple of them and was highly recommended the Dave the Axeman or Dan the Axeman or what is this? Todd. Hey, David, what's going on? John says, on my 6-liter build with forged internals and running ethanol, how much boost should I look at before I should look at meth injection? What's your compression ratio, John? David C. says, is a real drive car do you recommend buying to tune and burn rubber? I was thinking about a GTO, but parts are getting hard to find, I guess. Dude, David, you cannot go wrong with the GTOs, man. And even on a $10,000 budget, the only issues that you might run into the GTOs, suspension can be a little bit of an issue because a lot of that stuff has to come from down under and can be a little bit pricey. But as far as drivetrain goes, it's all, you know, straightforward. I'm just a big GTO fan, though. Truck might be cheaper. Truck in the long run probably would be cheaper. Oh, yeah, E67 is CAN bus, Darwin. But, I mean, and E40 is not. Straight Dumb says, a lot of work on the DD tables really changed up the APP TPS. Yep. Man, they have a lot of... Straight Dumb was having some throttle surges and... Or was actually, it was not necessarily throttles, probably more like stumbles. We traced it back to the DD tables needed some adjustments. And then some of that can bleed over into the virtual torque stuff. But good to hear that is going good. Yeah, the E67 is set up for boost. That's why it's a step up from the E38. And it actually has, on top of boost, it has a more powerful processor, a little bit more memory. So part of the reason why the Country Club is going to the E67. Yeah, Nick, that will do it. Don't do that. Flipster says, so with my Gen 4 going into open loop, specifically around 70 with the converter is locked, what would be the best point to start at to fix the issue? Hold on. I don't even remember your issue anymore, Flipster. You're going to have to elaborate because... I mean, because what you're talking about is normal operation. I don't know about the darkness, PCT. I don't really drink stouts, though. I'm more of an IPA guy. There you go. Fast Daddy says, hey, David, you should get a Capri PPV. Reimer says, how do I get more boost on my 2011 Ford Taurus show? Reimer, that is probably going to be tied back to wastegate duty cycle. That's what I've seen on the EcoBoost, but I don't know about the shows, whether or not that generation of show is considered an EcoBoost. Check the forums, though. There's going to be plenty of guys out there that will have write-ups about what to do to get more boost. Just be careful, man. Zero Factor says, is there a setting on the P59 ECM that lets you change when the ECM goes from math to SD, like RPM or Hertz? Yeah, that is your dynamic airflow, Zero. If you go under dynamic airflow, it is that setting right now. I believe yours is set to 100. That is whenever it enables it to be primary, what we call high speed, which is MAF only. Below that, it is a blended MAF speed density thing. Anti-Venom says, can moving P engagement from factory 5,000 to 2,000 RPM on an 08 Tahoe without making a lot of other changes, would it make it run better or not worth it? Not really, probably not worth it, Anti-Venom. Honestly, you might pick up just the smallest minute amount of torque, but you get so rich down low on a naturally aspirated vehicle like that that you're also hampering your ability to make power because your ignition front goes a lot slower. So, you know, PE engagement down that low is great for a boosted vehicle, but on a naturally aspirated vehicle, I like to keep the PE back up top. Oh, Darwin, your E40 says it's a CAN bus. Okay. Well, if the E40 is a CAN, you should be able to swap it to an E67. You just got to make sure that the systems are the same. As I said, if you were to go through and look at all the pinouts and all of the systems, you want to look at what the E40 systems are. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, is E40 a 2-harness or a 3-harness ECM? Because I think it's just a 2-harness, right? And so if you're going from a 2-harness to a 3-harness, you'll have almost everything and then some on the system side. It's the big thing is the ECMs have these different systems, and you need to make sure that the ECM that you're going to has all the systems you need. And honestly, a lot of those systems you don't need, part of them are going to be things that you could cut back out, so you could technically go back. David says, I forgot it has to be a manual. Go with the GTO, David. Find yourself a good manual GTO. 05. Go for the 05. Skip the 04s. If you can get an 06 for your price, go for it. Raphael says, throttle slow coming down. Log. Raphael, that's probably a throttle follower. Disable that. Try disable the throttle follower. That's a pretty known issue. You'll see it in there. Sorry, John. No, I don't, Dirt Floor, but thank you for the burnout anyways. I appreciate it, brother. It's been so wet out here that I couldn't get smoke off the tires if I wanted to. Okay, so the E40 has three connectors. As I said, you should be good. Straight dumb, I did see that record. 103 average. Spent a lot of time at, what did they peg out at, like 160 or 180 a couple times? Maybe even 198. Oh. What'd I miss? What's going on, Exemp? You all right? Oh, brother, take it easy. Sorry about the heart attack, man. Glad that you were able to make it out tonight. Hope you get to feeling better. Take a couple days off, brother. That motor's not going anywhere. VJ asks, can you scan and save someone else's tune even if they aren't licensed on my laptop? No, you cannot. You can, with the MPVI-2, you can edit and save other people's tunes, but you cannot connect to a vehicle and save it without licensing that vehicle. No adjustments or not. That's just part of it. Giovanni, I think I understand about half of what you just told Jorge there, something about HP tuners and having to buy more credits. Hey, Paul. Perfect. Yeah, no problem, man. Hit me up. Hey, Wallace. Sorry to hear that you've been sick. Welcome back. Good to see you again. Good crowd tonight. 63. Anna Venom says, what kind of bump in line pressure would you suggest on something as transit slips or just takes forever to shift? Start 25%, Anna Venom. Go from there. Don't get too carried away, though. Be realistic. Ah, there you go. Yep, perfect. I need to work on my Spanish. It's been a while. I don't hear it as much up here as I did whenever I was down in Texas and Oklahoma. I need to purchase a couple more credits myself. I'm actually going to do a video on it. It's pretty straightforward, but figure for somebody that's not done it before, I'll shoot a quick video about how to go through the process of buying a couple more credits for your interface, because I'm going to have to license a new VIN number. I'm really disappointed, slight off rant here, about the fact that it doesn't matter on HP tuners, because HP tuners not only licenses your VIN but your PCM serial number also. So it's not like if I were to license the VIN for this car and then change the ECM VIN over, they do that. EFI Live doesn't do that. EFI Live lets you change the VIN. I have not been able to figure out how to change the VIN through the Tech 2, but that is also because it is that really weird ECM that's on there. Raphael, just look underneath throttle follower. There's a parameter that is literally going to be like enable RPM or something like that, and just max that out. It's pretty straightforward whenever you look at it. Really, Morehead? Are you sure? I didn't think that you could pull a tune without registering it. Stuart, now that you got the wideband sensor installed, start with MAF tuning. PCT, I'm not sure. I've not kept up with the WRX STIs. The last time I owned one was back around 2010. So. Oh, John, with the 10 to 1 on E85, man, you can make quite, like, what kind of boost are you talking about making? Because you should be able to make 18. I would say 18 PSI before you need meth. Don't quote me on that, but I would think as long as your timing wasn't crazy. Okay, okay. I stand corrected. I don't guess I've really ever tried to pull one, but it would make sense that you would not be able to ride it without one. Thank you for clarifying, guys. There you go. You can read, just cannot write without the register. Antivenom, this channel loves you. 80 millimeter turbo on John's. Yes, that sounds right, Richard. There's a lot more flexibility on the MPV i2. That would make sense because you can do a lot of that stuff on the MPV i1 or the original MPV i. It just wouldn't let you do that stuff. As said, that was the main reason I upgraded to the MPV i2 was the ability to make changes to files and save them. Well, John, you know, you're probably doing something a little... Correct. Well, Cody, you can only do that with the MPV i2. Exactly what Josh says on something like that. Like, once you get past 18 PSI with that setup, then you might start running into some stuff where there is some benefit to running methanol injection. And as I said, zero is at 18, no meth. But at the same time, zero at 18 with no meth, if you were running a 50-50 or even a like 30% meth blend like a windshield washer, he could probably pick up 5 to 6 degrees of timing off that. So that's something to keep in mind, is that's what meth really allows you to do, is run a lot more stuff. Giovanni says, I've been watching your videos wondering why you multiply by half. The reason we do that is because if you multiply by 100%, which is fine whenever you're a long ways away, but if you multiply by what is, you know, effectively 100%, you will overshoot, and then you will just sit here and go up and up and down. Multiplying by half allows you to move it towards what we consider our goal, and so you'll never necessarily overshoot your goal. Then you get into that point where you're within 1 or 2% error. I used to do it the other way, and I found myself chasing my tail more often than not. Now, as I said, if you're like at a 10% offset, go ahead and multiply that thing straight across, do the 10% shift, and then any corrections you make after that, multiply it by half. Hey, PCM, good to see you, brother. How's that C10 coming along? Pit crew, there might be one spot left over on the top tier of the Patreon. But there was two at the first of the month, and I'm pretty sure that somebody snagged one of those up instantly. Wallace McCray, there's no such thing as too much. No, I'm kidding. There is such a thing as too much meth. A lot of the kits will give you a jet guidance based on how much horsepower you're making. Just go off that. Chase has got a 408 in a stroker, heads, cam, longs, tubes, 10 to 1 compression, 93 octane, spark is 24 up top. That is super conservative for that. I'm guessing you could probably squeeze a little bit more than 24 degrees of spark on a 10 to 1 compression ratio set up with that, Chase. Are you going to end up boosting this? Is that why you're at 10 to 1? There you go. You can do some fun stuff messing around with the Yohani. Just be careful. Literally, you got to have the wideband to get into the power zone, to tune the power zone whenever we're talking about wide open throttle stuff like that. That's a good idea, Lynn Twin. If I could hook that up. Every time that somebody comes over and they wants me to tune their vehicle, they don't even bring me a case of beer. It's just like, hey, you got extra credits, right? And I'm like, well, I mean, I had plans for those credits. Sounds good, PCT. If you don't get finished by the end of this month, there will be a spot open up next month. Dirtfloor, you do live in the power zone. You are the power zone. we all strive to live in Zest power zone. What are you thinking about doing, Chase? Are you going to go turbo or supercharged on that setup? Because it sounds like you got a lot of room for some boost. Stroker cam, you could probably get away with a pretty decent supercharger on there. Not yet, Raphael. We have not really talked about nitrous tuning, which is not that complicated. Nitrous tuning, the big thing is just controlling your timing. You know, especially if you're running a wet kit, all the stuff that you're doing on the wet kit, if you're adjusting your tuning appropriately through that. So, oh, yeah, yeah. Just as said, Raphael, make sure that you're pulling the appropriate amount of timing. Every 50 PSI of nitrous power, you want to pull at least one, if not 2 degrees of timing on it. And then pay attention. Pay attention. You end up cooking things on nitrous whenever your cylinder temps get high. So, straight dumbass, does your LTFT actually change your MAF or VVE tables over time, or is it just an offset stored elsewhere? Straight dumb, it is an offset stored elsewhere. And we don't necessarily get access to it other than to clear it out. And so that's why we clear it whenever we do our tuning steps, to make sure that it is not messing with us and allows it to relearn. But the cool thing about it is it really works well, because as the temperature and things like that gradually change, your LTFTs gradually change to offset any of that stuff. Danger to manifold. That needs to be my new intro to Intune Live, is whenever we fire this thing up, it just starts flashing dangerous to manifold. Ross, nitrous is illegal in Arkansas for street use. And it might be illegal for transport without some kind of hazmat license. I don't know. But just, you know, if you're going to get pulled over with nitrous on, just hit the nitrous. Don't get pulled over. You're right, Lynn Twin. It is the price of, you know, credits nowadays, and it seems like every single vehicle that they come out with takes like 20 all of a sudden. John is right. Ellis engines are everywhere. Blow it up. Stick a new one in. Wrench wheel repeat. Bingo. Arkansas, Russia, same place. You guys are killing me tonight. Antivenom asks, any chance you'll branch off into other software like Holley Dominator, Terminator, etc.? Yes. We will probably be taking a look at some of the Holley software next spring, summertime. Got a buddy working on a 71 Chevelle that is going to be running on a Dominator, Terminator. And I'm going to fly out to see him, and we're going to go through that and kind of just go over all the process. It's pretty straightforward, though. You know, that a lot of that stuff is set up to really make tuning easy. So, hey, Sean, you get that wideband installed yet? Hillary says, yeah, I would totally outrun them. You got the nitrous in there. Arkansas's got slow cop cars anyways, right? Cody's about to drop a new motor 5.3 with stage 4 Summit Cam, VS Racing S47.5, looking for a 560-600, but truck has a returnless fuel system. Cody, what are you on a 5th gen 5.3? Is this a L83? There you go. Dirt floor, you need to just shoot a video of it, man. It's, you know, it really, Cody, is going to, it's going to depend on the which setup that you're running this return. I would get away from the returnless. If you're going this far and you're going to start trying to make the 550 to 600 range, you need to spend the money and get your fuel system dialed in properly. Oh, awesome. Welcome to the Pro Tier PCT. I will send you the information here soon on how to get things how to get things set up. I've noticed, Dirt Floor, I need to check out one of those awesome little body saws that you were talking about on your latest video, man, because I think it'd be good. I need to cut on some fiberglass. Thank you, Ovani. I appreciate you subbing. You are one of those. Appreciate it, BA. Welcome to the channel. Thanks for watching. Thanks for taking the time to drop into the live chat. Oh, why are you running a returnless system on a third gen, Cody? Yeah, just do away with that, man. Save yourself the heartache. Darwin's got a E40 VE boost table. Can I merge it with my main VE table? Darwin, I can't tell you that off the top of my head. I have to do some research on that. Let me follow up on that and figure out what triggers that VE boost table. Somebody might be able to answer that for you. KA Power's got a tune from a known popular tuner in my 900 horsepower truck. Runs rich all the time. Time it goes flat randomly until you hit the throttle. I mean, I can KA Power. That's up to you. I, you know, outside of the even the $15 Patreon stuff, I try not to do a lot of tune reviewing just because guys are paying for that service. I will tell you that if I look at this person's tune, I'm probably going to find a lot of issues that I don't adhere to. But that being said, I want to clear the air for you guys to give you an idea, because I might throw a lot of shade towards guys that do dyno tuning and stuff like that. But that's not necessarily what's going on. What's going on is it's a mentality between you tuning your vehicle and somebody else tuning your vehicle, and what I consider the proper way of tuning your vehicle. Whenever I go through these steps and I try to help you guys learn how to tune your vehicles, I'm talking about what you should do to do the holistic picture of tuning, and not just what is going to make the most power, you know, whenever you're at the drag strip, stuff like that. So if you follow the steps that I put out there, you're going to have the safest, most powerful tune that is acceptable for all stages of driving on the streets, going to the track, doing whatever you want to do, things like that. So that being said, you know, if somebody asks me to review a dyno tuner's tune, I'm going to find a lot of issues with it because I do not adhere to the mentality that a lot of these dyno tuners adhere to. And it's a common theme that's all the way across the whole industry right now. And in fact, if you watched, what's his nuts on Cletus, Faster Proms, he was talking the other day with his little Capri that's got like the LSA in it or whatever, that they were going over to SD and how long it takes to tune SD and stuff like that. Well, that's something that we as owners who tune our own vehicles, so that's something that we do as the normal thing, because that is part of what is that whole dynamic airflow system that I've talked about in the past, which is critical to help out with things like transient fueling. Okay, sorry. Off my soapbox here. What have I missed? Sean, the E67 connectors should be in tomorrow, hopefully. Fingers crossed, because I really want to start doing that ECU tune tomorrow, or ECU swap. Well, a lot of the fifth gen stuff straight dumb does fuel pressure compensation. That's why I'm able to run that Aeromotive aftermarket system on mine. And the system adapted. Like, as long as it had a set pressure and it is using a closed loop pressure sensor to hit that pressure, it automatically ramps up the pulse width modulation to increase the pump fuel flow. It works like a charm, man. Ooh, really? Josh, good looking out. He said Banks Power just posted a video of unboxing a Blackwing Caddy. So, super interested finding out what's going on there. One Fast Daddy, it is pronounced Capri. It's not Caprice. Faster Prom is one of the more realistic tuners out there, but I'll just say that. Trust me, there are dudes way worse out there that can be a lot more annoying. French Chats annoys the hell out of me. He's a pretty damn good tuner, though, so. I don't know. I would like to see some of Fran's tunes and pick those apart. Because I know that he makes the horsepower, but I would like to see the backside of it because he throws all kinds of shade. Caprice! It's Capri! It is Capri. That's. Yeah, AK, it's going to be that black. Is the Blackwing supercharged? It's going to be a. Turbo, right? Bingo. Dirt Floor nailed it on the head. Took 3 weeks to tune my car the first time. Half the battle is understanding what everything does. That's exactly it. And it's not getting out into the woods, man. Romeo is working on a 4.8 tune, assuming that 93 octane, 24 degrees max, knock is showing -8. Ooh. You need to track down, Romeo, and probably zero out all of your tables that can apply knock outside of the actual sensors themselves. Make sure that you're not getting into IAT, reduced timing, which can show up as knock, things like that. Lathan says, what is transient fueling? Transient fueling is the stage your volumetric efficiency tables have predicted fueling. So you've got this big table, and as you are moving through this table, the ECM is making predictions saying, hey, we're headed this direction, so the next step in fueling could be down here. And so transient fueling will say, as soon as we see the first indication of that could move this, we're going to go ahead and start fueling that way. And so it is kind of predictive fueling. And so if your speed density table's off, your transient fueling table will be way off. Okay, so the Blackwing is a 4.2 liter twin turbo. And I saw today, you're right, where they discontinued the CT6V. Which means there will be no support for that motor, which is just heartbreaking. Hovani, I have not seen PFI speed, but I'll go look them up. I probably don't dive as deep into the YouTube spectrum as I should. But honestly, I'm so tied up with doing what we do on here. You're not going to convince me, Fast Daddy. It's not Caprice. It's probably, yes, you're probably right. It's probably Caprice, but I've always called them Chevy Caprice. Oh, shit, I just said it. It is Caprice. Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. I've heard of the Boosted Boys. Yeah, I'll have to look into them. There you go. Just call it a PPV. AK's right. Just call it a PPV. call it a Chevy cop car, right? Caprese salad, right? Caprese. you guys made for some good laughs tonight. I appreciate it. 65 is a good turnout. Did we break 70? Has anybody been paying attention? I can pull up the analytics. See what our highest. We got 71. We actually did break. There you go. Impala. That's the correct one. We hit 71. Somebody was slack and not paying attention. Should have done a shout out. We hit 71 twice. I'm seeing two times that we hit 71. We have still got this goal of trying to hit 80. And we're at 69 right now. Which is, love that. Love that. Chase, if I did that, my wife would divorce me. Well, PCT, you are correct. It is a bunch of slackers, and it is the holiday season. Don't expect a lot going on this time of year, but January, February, everything starts spinning back up. March, whenever it gets to the point where people start getting ready to get back out on the streets, everything's going to pick up. It's going to be good. John, that's a ripoff. I would ask for a refund. Josh says, why do chicken coops only have two doors? Because if they had four doors, they'd be chicken sedans like the Caprese. Ah, she got you a beer and smacked you. There you go. Ah, dude, I'm telling you. Slackers on both ways. Slackers that we only barely broke 70 and slackers that we didn't count out. We didn't do the 70 shout out like we normally do. Some might say that the Mercury Capri is a better-looking Fox Body Mustang. Antivenom, I've only trained my dogs to sit and wake me up at the wrong times at night. Thanks, AK. I'm excited. I'm excited in a way. Listen, I'm going to be shooting a video here soon talking about why I bought the worst modern GM sports car ever made, which is the XLR. Havani, there is no classic cars in the fleet anymore. Had a 62 Corvette. It is no longer with us. It has moved on. There will probably be some classic cars in the future. Ross, I'm not going to allow you to post that on here, but yes. Hey, the Elante, now we're talking. That was one of the early North Stars, too. Perfect, perfect. Well, listen, guys, it is 8:53, so we're going to wrap a little bit early because I'm going to go spend some time with Mrs. Garage because she's going to be tied up. Somebody send me a Kong 2650. If you've got one sitting around, I'll find something to put it on. I've been watching videos on the Kong 2650 all week, and I get really excited. Get really excited every time I see them. Okay, so that being said, thank you everybody for showing up on the Thursday night to hang out with the garage as usual. I appreciate it. This is my favorite time of the week. Getting to talk to you guys is the best thing ever. It makes it the whole thing worthwhile. As always, want to say thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing the link. Remember that tuning101.com. Anybody ask you where to get some assistance, say, hey, come join the family, tuning101.com. We're on the Instagram, goatropegarage.com. Hey, I'm talking about modern GM sports cars, Sean, and the Fieros weren't the worst thing. Yeah, John, go look at that Kong 2650. YouTube it and look at what people are doing with it, because it's making ridiculous power. Exempt, save it for next weekend, because we are shutting her down for tonight. But yeah, as always, guys, this is it. If you haven't subscribed, hit it. Subscribe, hit the like button. Watch the ads. That gets me paid. That's what pays for the modifications and the parts. Check out the Patreon. If you need any tuning assistance, $15 a month. It's all down in the description. So, but remember, ABT, always be tuning. Thanks for stopping by the garage. Oh, wrong screen.